From the studios of Free Radio Santa Cruz, you're listening to Earth First Radio. Stay tuned for No Compromise news, views, poetry, and music.
You're cutting chainsaws, killing the trees, something everything that lives in peace. Our animal friends are on the run. Job is done. How can we stand by while this all takes place? We've got to stop this inhuman race.
And welcome to Earth First Radio. I'm Uncle Dennis. Each week I bring you No Compromise news, views, poetry, and music for activists on the front lines of the environmental movement. In the news you'll hear tonight about folks who are killing the planet and folks who have detailed information about saving what's left. They all have names and addresses, telephone numbers, web pages, email addresses, all kinds of stuff these people have. So, why don't you get a pencil or a pen and some recycled newspaper to write it all down on, because this isn't couch potato radio, it's activist radio, and I urge you to take down the information and act on it. You really can make a difference by writing letters, sending faxes, and making phone calls when you aren't out in the woods up in a tripod or a tree sit or locked down at the road blockade. If you have information, announcements, or comments for Earth First Radio, please keep your pencil handy and listen for the contact addresses later on in the show. And now here's some announcements. On Sunday, 13th of June, the California Wilderness Coalition and the Sierra Club will host a slideshow, workshop, and field training regarding Wildlands 2000, the next statewide wilderness protection bill for California. And that's going to take place from 10 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. at the San Luis Obispo Recreational Center, Room A, at 1341 Nipomo Street in San Luis Obispo, California. Workshop topics include important background information on what wilderness protection means, a discussion of potential new wilderness areas around the state of California, and most importantly, you can learn how to get involved in the Wildlands 2000 campaign and make your mark on California's conservation history. After the workshop, California Wilderness staff will lead a wilderness survey training in the Los Padres National Forest, southeast of San Luis Obispo, from 12:30 to 5:30 p.m. So please bring a hat, sunscreen, rain gear, boots, and sturdy shoes, water, lunch, and a notebook, and a pencil or a pen, just like you were listening to Earth First Radio. Purpose of the training is to show you how to survey wild areas and gather the evidence necessary to propose them for wilderness status in Wildlands 2000. Once you're trained, you're free to visit any potential new wilderness area in the state and decide whether or not it qualifies for wilderness protections. If you have any questions, please refer them to Letty French at 805-239-7338 or email to ccfrench at tcsn.net. That's Letty French, her phone number again, or his, I don't know, 805-239-7338, or email to ccfrench at tcsn.net, or you can call Ryan Henson at 530-335-3183. That's Ryan Henson, 530-335-3183. His email address, Ryan at calwild.org. Coming up real soon is the 5th Eastern Old Growth Conference in Duluth, Minnesota. It will focus on the human impacts and mitigation strategies for eastern old growth forests. Contact Marianne Hellman at the University of Minnesota for more information. That conference is from June 10th to June 12th in Duluth, Minnesota. For more information, mhellman at forestry.umn.edu. That's mhellman at forestry.umn.edu. And American Lands would like to invite you all to participate in the Washington, D.C. Massive Forest Protection Lobby Blitz occurring from June 14th to June 18th. And that's going to be major stuff. And then, of course, June 18th is end of Corporate Dominance Day. You'll all be ready for that. You'll be in the center of Corporate Dominance in Washington, D.C. For further information, contact Liz at 202-547-9098. That's Liz at 202-547-9098 or LizB at AmericanLands.org. And a little farther off in the future is the Forest Reform Rally, the 10th through the 12th of September. The Wild Utah Forest Campaign, a project of American Lands, will be co-hosting the 13th annual Forest Reform Rally. And then again, it's September 10th through 12th, north of Salt Lake City on the Wasatch Cache National Forest, on the border of the High Uintas Wilderness Area. For more information, contact Susan Ash. Wild Utah Forest Campaign, 165 South Main Street, Suite Number 1, Salt Lake City, Utah, 84111. That's Susan Ash. Wild Utah Forest Campaign, 165 South Main Street, Suite Number 1, Salt Lake City, Utah, 84111. Or perhaps you'd like to call her at 801-539-1355. That's Susan at 801-539-1355. Or how about an email address, wufc@xmission.com. That's wufc@xmission.com. And of course, June 11th through June 15th is the Asylum Gathering, loosely defined as a free punk anarchist convergence with a radical environmental slant. It's going to take place in Cascadia, just south of Eugene, Oregon. Want more information? Try Antipathy at P.O. Box 11703, Eugene, Oregon, 97440. That's Antipathy at P.O. Box 11703, Eugene, Oregon, 97440. Or email at suspect27@hotmail.com. That's suspect27, capital S-U-S-P-E-C-T, 27@hotmail.com. Let's see. Also coming up, of course, is June 18th. I mentioned that before. June 18th is an International Day of Action Against Global Economy. Financial centers, banking districts, multinational corporation power bases, all time to occur at the same time as the Group of Seven Summit meeting in Köln, Germany. If you want more information, there is a listserv that you can get on. Here's the address, listproc, listproc, at gn.apc.org. And in the subject line, put subscribe, J18 discussion. All right, you got all that? Well, I hope so. Okay, what else is coming up here? Oh boy, lots of stuff. Let's see, no more on that page. But of course, June 21st through June 28th is the Round River Rendezvous, occurring in the San Juan Mountains of Colorado. It's going to be sort of midway along the border, about 100 miles north of Santa Fe in the San Juan Mountains, at 10,000 feet. For further information, of course, please contact the organizing committee, and they're at P.O. Box 3412, Tucson, Arizona, 85722. That's Round River Rendezvous 99 at P.O. Box 3412, Tucson, Arizona, 85722. Or you might try calling them at 520-620-1839. That's 520-620-8139. And be a good thing to carpool from wherever you're coming from. Let's get into action news now. There's a situation escalating in Albion, California. Save the Redwoods Boycott the Gap campaign. San Francisco, the Fisher family's logging company, Mendocino Redwood, has placed a full-time security guard at the site of a tree sit, a small grove of giant redwoods that separates a road slide from the river below. When the guard saw activists hanging a banner that reads, "Slides kill fish," across the slide area, something snapped. He lunged at them, breaking the knuckles of one activist and jeopardizing the well-being of another by clinging to the harness while she was being hoisted back into her tree. Sandy Dean and John Fisher, the Fisher family frontmen for the logging operation, continue to ignore pleas from activists and phone calls from the public, asking them to stop cutting near slide areas. It's bad enough they're taking out the last decent wildlife habitat in the Albion. At least they can do is not take it out near slide areas along the river. Here's some numbers. You can call Sandy Dean at 707-485-8731. That's Sandy Dean, 707-485-8731, or John Fisher at 415-392-3600. That's John Fisher, 415-392-3600. And loudly protest the Fisher family's destruction of the Albion River watershed. And tell them that they should at least stop logging near slide areas. Tell them that you support the tree sit and they should clean up their act. And speaking of tree sits, got on the phone with a few people tonight and figured out that there are currently 8 tree sits going on that we know about. In California, the Luna tree sit with Julia Butterfly, the Albion tree sit that I just talked to you about, Gypsy tree sit at the site of the Gypsy's murder along Highway 36 in Humboldt County, and the Bear Creek tree sit. Okay, there might be one more, we're not sure, in California, but up in Oregon, there's the Fall Creek tree sit, the Eagle Creek tree sit, the Helldun, and the Winberry. So there's 4 going on up in Oregon also. There may be some more. If you know about tree sits going on in your area, contact Uncle Dennis at cruiseef at cruiseio.com. And also, late word is today, animal rights activists have taken over the primate labs at the Washington State University in Seattle, Washington. They've been surrounded by police officers, but my understanding from my conversation just moments ago is that they are holding fast at the Washington State University primate lab in Seattle. More action news. And this one from the Eagle Creek timber sales, tree sits, blockades. On Tuesday, June 1st, the Forest Service began attempting to remove protesters who had been successfully blocking the road to the Eagle timber sales for over a week. As of 12:30 p.m. last Tuesday, they had declared the area a crime scene and had used a crane to reach one protester suspended over 70 feet in the air on a platform above the road. Witnesses say the protester was holding on for his life by his arms as the crane lowered his platform with no emergency medical technicians on hand. The activist was arrested immediately upon reaching the ground. Another protester remained in a platform 30 feet above the ground, tied to the gate, but was finally removed and arrested at 1:30 p.m. Large banners at the blockade declared, "Stop logging Eagle Creek, Forest Service, stop logging our watershed, and stop the timber empire. May the forest be with you." After arresting the two at the blockade, Forest Service tree climbers were sent 6 miles up the road to apparently remove several tree sitters. The public is being prevented from observing what is happening with the tree sitters at this time, and I had no further word as to what's going on at that tree sit. All right. Moving on, the U.S. Forest Service lobbied illegally to try and boost road funds and change the way it distributes county aid, the General Accounting Office says in Washington, D.C., A regional forester in Michigan told interest groups last year to let Congress know about the need to raise funds for roads and national forests, the GAO said in a report released Monday. According to the report, the service also asked regional foresters to contact Congress, state officials, interest groups, and the news media last year to build support for a proposal to freeze payments to counties and no longer link the payments to timber harvest. These actions violate the 1998 Interior Appropriations Act, reports the Associated Press. The act prohibits federal officials from using taxpayer dollars to lobby for or against legislation, according to the GAO, Congress's investigative arm. Although a lobbying prohibition has been included in every Interior Appropriations bill since 1977, the GAO found that none of the employees knew they were breaking the law. The report recommends the Department of Agriculture, which oversees the Forest Service, develop guidelines on lobbying and educate employees about those guidelines. And the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals ruled in May 19th that the Forest Service violated environmental laws when it exchanged land with a forest products company in Washington State. The court also told the company Weyerhaeuser to stop logging the land. The Forest Service exchanged 4,400 acres of public heavily forested land to Weyerhaeuser in the spring of 1998 for 30,000 acres of mostly logged company land spread over 5 counties. the Pilchuck Audubon Society, the Muckleshoot Indian Tribe, and the Huckleberry Mountain Protection Society sued to stop the transaction. Federal District Court Judge William Dwyer ruled in late 1997 that the exchange was in the public interest and the agency had violated no laws. But environmental groups appealed that decision. In court, Weyerhaeuser lawyer Michael Himes argued that it was too late to appeal the exchange because the company had already destroyed 10% of the forest it got in the deal. Nevertheless, the three-judge appeals court found last Wednesday that the Forest Service had in fact violated the National Environmental Policy Act and other laws and recommended the land exchange decision to the Forest Service for further environmental analysis. The court also told Weyerhaeuser to cease its logging and road building on the land, at least until the Forest Service completes its analysis, which includes an examination of the potential impacts the logging operation would have on salmon spawning areas. Janine Blelock, the director of the Western Land Exchange Project, an environmental group that has opposed the Huckleberry Land Exchange, was pleased by the ruling's implications for future land exchanges, but cautioned that it will prompt private traders to seek a legislative fix. Private parties, timber mining companies, and developers may seek congressional exchanges in order to bypass the public process, waiving NEPA and other environmental laws, she said in a statement. And the controversial wolf legislation in Minnesota is dead for the 1999 session. According to the Minneapolis Star-Tribune, the bill to manage timber wolves was withdrawn by its sponsors after the Senate approved an amendment that would have severely limited the wolf's range to the northern part of the state in deference to livestock interests in the south. Conservation groups criticized the bill as failing to recognize the importance of wolf habitat, the importance of best management practices, and good farm animal husbandry. Linda Hatfield from Howl, Help Our Wolves Live, stated, "They really don't understand the wolf issue or the importance of keeping the wolf listed under the Endangered Species Act. Before the wolf can be removed from the federal ESA list, the state must have a management plan in place." And five conservation groups calling on Idaho's Department of Environmental Quality to oppose the Rock Creek Mine in Montana. According to a letter sent by the groups, the mine would dump up to 3 million gallons of polluted water every day into the Clark Fork River, the main source of water for Lake Pandoriel, Idaho's largest freshwater lake. Lake Pandoriel is critical to the long-term bull trout recovery efforts in Idaho and Montana and is listed as a threatened water body in Idaho. ASARCO Incorporated plans to build a huge underground mine which would remove copper and silver ore for up to 30 years. "Citizens want to maintain water quality for recreation use and sport fisheries that are vital to the area's economy," said Mary Mitchell, Idaho director of the Rock Creek Alliance. And environmental activists occupied a wood chip mill in North Carolina this week, blockading its front gate and scaling a crane to protest the increased timber cutting in the state. Deputies carried 10 people, some still chained to 300-pound stumps, to jail and charged them with trespass and resisting officers. "We showed people that it is not acceptable to cut our forests in general and to put them into little chips for disposable products," said Kathy Berry of Catoosa Earth First. In response to the public's concerns last year, Governor Jim Hunt commissioned the first comprehensive study of chip mills, although the results of the study are at least a year away. And from Amarillo, Texas, we read that a billboard in beef-raising West Texas depicting Jesus Christ as a vegetarian was removed by a local advertising agency Friday after public protests, said an animal rights group that paid for it. The sign, which stated Jesus was a vegetarian and featured a large portrait of Christ, was erected Tuesday on the side of a major highway in Amarillo, Texas. The Amarillo Globe News reported that the billboard provoked a stream of angry responses. People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals, PETA, said it was notified by the advertising agency Friday that the billboard would be taken down immediately because of the controversy. PETA said it plans to place similar signs in several cities in the United States and Canada. Quote, "We chose Amarillo to be part of this campaign because it was in both the Bible Belt and the Beef Belt," PETA activist Bruce Frederick told Reuters. And the Globe News reported it had been inundated with angry calls and letters about what one of the newspaper's columnists called PETA's efforts to convert all us West Texans chicken fried steak loving carnivores into carrot crunching melon thumpers. And Home Depot is selling away our nation by the board foot, said Chief Quatsinas of the Noxalk Native American Tribe from British Columbia, Canada, in a press release at the annual Home Depot shareholders meeting in Atlanta last Wednesday. Home Depot denied Quatsinas a chance to address the shareholders, saying that he was not a legitimate spokesman for the tribe, wrote the Wall Street Journal. Despite this, 11.7% of voting shares favored a resolution to end the sale of old-growth wood by Home Depot. Meanwhile, in British Columbia, Greenpeace activists covered a recent clear-cut with a 10,000-square-foot mock Home Depot logo, reported the Atlanta Constitution and Journal. While shareholders questioned Home Depot's business practices, the company's suppliers continued to clear-cut thousand-year-old trees in British Columbia, destroying the largest unprotected temperate climate rainforest in the world. Want to do something? Please fax a letter to Arthur Blank, Home Depot Chief Executive Officer. Here's that fax number, 770-384-2337. Once again, Home Depot's CEO, Arthur Blank. His fax number, 770-384-2337. Urge him to have Home Depot stop selling old-growth wood products. And the Clearwater National Forest plans timber sales using false information on remaining old-growth forests, according to a study by conservationists. The study found that only 8.5% of forest remains in an old-growth condition, less than the 10% minimum requirement established by the Clearwater Forest Plan. An analysis conducted by Amy Hawk, a geographic information system mapping specialist, shows Clearwater's claims of old-growth are not supported by aerial photographs or by their own forest inventory data. Comparisons between Clearwater maps and the photographs show harvested units, bare rocks, saplings, and roads present in areas the Forest Service claims to be old growth. If you'd like more information, contact Larry McLaud at 208-882-1010. That's Larry at 208-882-1010. And under a new plan proposed by Seattle Mayor Paul Schell, every tree in the 90,546-acre Cedar River watershed would be protected by becoming part of an ecological reserve, reports the Seattle Post-Intelligencer. The watershed is home to old-growth trees, loons, bald eagles, spotted owls, and threatened salmon, in addition to being the primary water source for Seattle and its suburbs. The habitat proposal would guarantee more in-stream flows for fish, add fish hatchery production, and restore damaged habitat in the city's part of the watershed and beyond. This means for the first time in history, we'll put fish first, said Schell. And in more news from Montana, a lawsuit recently filed in the U.S. District Court of Montana aims to restore public process in the National Forest Management. The lawsuit challenges the U.S. Forest Service's decision to allow logging and road building in the Rye Creek area of the Bitterroot National Forest, citing the service's failure to involve the public as required by federal law. Additionally, because of the extreme damage to the area from previous logging, the lawsuit contests the scientific basis of the Forest Service's stated justifications and impact analyses for the Rye Creek timber sale. The timber sale is a response to a wildfire which burnt through the area last August. The lawsuit was filed by Friends of the Bitterroot, American Wildlands, the Sierra Club Bitterroot Mission Group, and the Ecology Center, with legal counsel provided by the Western Environmental Law Center. The Forest Service is trying to avoid their responsibility to involve the public in national forest management, stated Jim Olson of Friends of the Bitterroot, and quite frankly, the law requires more. The Forest Service truncated public involvement by redefining the Rye Creek timber sale as a categorical exclusion from further review or analysis. As a result, the service did not prepare an environmental assessment or an environmental impact statement, which would have allowed the public to review and comment on multiple alternatives for how to manage the Rye Creek area. In contrast, public involvement is the foundation for the National Environmental Policy Act, which oversees all federal actions, including the Rye Creek timber sale. And that's about all the time we have for news right now. To get news announcements or comments from your bioregion to Earth First Radio, send us email at cruzief@cruzio.com. That's C-R-U-Z-E-F at C-R-U-Z-I-O.com. Or you can send your letters, donations, CDs, or cassettes to Earth First Radio, P.O. Box 344, Santa Cruz, California, 95061. Once again, that's Earth First Radio, P.O. Box 344, Santa Cruz, California, 95061. We'd welcome all your letters, any donations you have, CDs or cassettes, and be sure to send those announcements at least 3 weeks in advance. For more in-depth news and information about the Earth First Movement, subscribe to the Earth First Journal, P.O. Box 1415, Eugene, Oregon, 97440. That's the Earth First Journal, P.O. Box 1415, Eugene, Oregon, 97440. And I'd like to thank them for information they supplied for this broadcast. Earth First Radio is broadcast live on Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM, every Thursday evening at 8 p.m., or you can listen to Earth First Radio anytime on your computer. Go to the World Wide Web to radioforall.web.net. That's radioforall.web.net. The number 4 is the number 4. You'll need a sound card, and the software you need is all free on the website. Earth First Radio is being rebroadcast on a growing number of free speech and non-commercial radio stations. If you found us on the web, please ask your local station to download and rebroadcast Earth First Radio. Our theme music was written and performed by Daryl Cherney from the CD Keep It Wild. Earth First Radio is affiliated with the Earth First Radio Network. I'm Uncle Dennis. Thank you for listening, and please tune in again. Right now we're going to check out some music from a local Santa Cruz artist called Phil Free, and this is off of one of his unreleased cassettes.
Somewhere where the life is wild and trees embrace the sky, coyotes howl to the moon as she slowly traces by. Far from the concrete in the hills of frost and snow, life weaves its web as the lights burn on below. But there's a yup beyond the mountain from the land of corporate greed, buying, selling parasites, filling a consuming need, filling that consuming need. Yeah, there's a yup beyond the mountain. Everybody run, thinks it's a game of Monopoly, won't stop till he's won, won't stop till he's won. And the wheels will roll, here to sell my soul. Someday they'll sell it back to me. Yeah, the time will come when it's all been done. With the world to gain, what have we done? What have we won? 'Cause there's a yup beyond the mountain from the land of corporate greed, buying, selling parasites, filling a consuming need, filling that consuming need. Yeah, there's a yup beyond the mountain. Everybody run, thinks it's a game of Monopoly, won't stop till he's won.